Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Matters and the fourth part of Change the Way You Think and Change Your Life. I am Udo Staatsbuchler. Those of you who tuned in for the first time and want to learn a bit more about me, go to my website http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. I think it is quite important to visit my website, because this is not a live show, but it is recorded, which means that you cannot call in. That's why I urge you to go to my website, where you find my email address. Write to me, tell me what you think about this show, whether you like it or not, ask me any questions, and I will answer them as soon as I can, which is usually within 48 hours. To some of your questions, I might refer in one of my next shows. However, I will not mention your name unless I have your explicit permission. On my website, you can go to page 4 and listen to my radio programs again. I will upload each show the day after it has been aired. I will repeat my email address a few more times throughout this show and also at the end of it. Towards the end of last week's show, I spoke about how to improve on your self-discipline, and I am going to continue with this theme. In my book, Happiness Discovered, I wrote at some length about acceptance and that acceptance is the first step to change. If you want to change anything, you need to first accept that something is wrong, which you want to change to the better. If you want to change your life, you need to accept that so far it hasn't been all that fabulous. In other words, you say to yourself, words to the effect of, so far my life was wasteful, poor, uninspired, or whatever else it was. But from now on, this is going to change. The same applies to self-discipline. One of the mistakes many people make when it comes to discipline is a failure to accurately perceive and accept the situation. When I talked about the study program in last week's show and the 6 hours of study time that you wanted to put in and you could not do it on day two, had you continued torturing yourself and your brain with your 6 hours of study time, what would have happened? In all likelihood, you would have given up on your plan and stopped. You would have told yourself words to the effect, I cannot do this, I am too dumb. I am incapable of concentration. I am a failure. But by changing your study time downwards, you accepted that it could not do it right now and that you need to have some training first. So your internal dialogue changed to something like that. I accept that I am not capable of 6 hours of full concentration. I am reducing my study time and train my brain to soon being able to do what is required. However, when I said you need to accurately perceive and accept your situation, it could also mean that your perception of yourself was too low. In the context of this study program example, this could mean that you set yourself a study time of only 1 hour a day because you thought that this was all your concentration could master. In this case, by not studying longer hours, you would be wasting valuable time doing things that are of no importance for your progress towards your goal. Therefore, if you want to boost your self-discipline, you should determine where exactly you stand right now and how strong your discipline is right now. In order to do this, you should ask yourself a few questions along the following lines. Do you get up easy every morning, full of energy and ready to go? Are you addicted to nicotine, caffeine, or any legal or illegal drugs and want to get rid of the addiction but cannot do it? Are there any things on your to-do list that are overdue by more than a week? Are your office and your workspace well organized? Is your home well organized? Do you know how much time you spend wastefully every typical day? If you give promises to yourself or others, how great is the chance that you will keep them? What is the greatest physical challenge that you ever faced, and how long ago was it? What is the greatest mental challenge you faced, and how long ago was that? Do you have clearly defined and written goals? Do you have a roadmap and a timeline to achieve them? How many hours of focused work do you complete on a typical day? How many hours of TV do you watch on a typical day? And how many hours do you spend on social network sites? How long ago was it that you consciously adopted a positive habit? How long ago was it that you consciously got rid of a bad habit? Could you tell me right now what you will be doing tomorrow? Could you tell me right now what you will be doing same day next week? Reading through these questions and considering your answers will give you a good idea about your discipline. Then, on a scale from 1 to 10, how high would you rate your self-discipline? What do you think you could achieve if you were able to say that your self-discipline ranks at a 9 or even a 10? There are different areas in life where self-discipline can play a big role. I talked about this study program to develop your business or career potential as well as your own personal development. I talked about being productive rather than wasting time. Another area is getting up in the morning. Providing you are not in a nighttime business, getting up early in the morning is a very good start. Early enough to do affirmations and visualizations, to do some physical exercise program, and then go about your business full fit and eager to get things done. However, if you are in the habit now to get up at 11 a.m. and then barely awake rush to your place of work, you are not fulfilling your own personal potential and most certainly not your business potential. Could you change this from one day to the next to getting up at 5 a.m.? Perhaps only on day 1, less likely on day 2, and probably not on day 3. But you could make a start with getting up 1 hour earlier for 1 week and 2 hours earlier on week 2, similar to my example with the study program. It won't take long and you become an early riser, raring to develop your career or business development as well as your personal development. My advice is to identify an area where your discipline is weakest, assess where you stand right now, acknowledge and accept your starting point, and design a training program for yourself to improve in this area. Start out with some easy exercises you know you can do and gradually progress to greater challenges. Always bear in mind that without assessment and acceptance of your assessment, you get either ignorance or denial. With ignorance, you simply do not know how disciplined you are or if you are disciplined at all. You have probably never even thought about it. You don't even know that you don't know. You'll only have a fuzzy notion of what you can do and what you cannot do. You will experience some easy successes and some dismal failures, but you are more likely to blame the task or blame yourself instead of simply acknowledging that the weight was too heavy for you and that you need to become stronger. When you are in a state of denial about your level of discipline, you are locked into a false view of reality. You are either overly pessimistic or optimistic about your capabilities. And you won't get much better because it is unlikely you will be able to hit your target by sheer accident. On the pessimistic side, you just do not do a thing. You just give up. On the optimistic side, you keep trying to be more disciplined and failing. And afterwards, you may either beat yourself up or resolve to try harder, neither of which will make you stronger. Let me now repeat my website for those of you who have joined our circle only tonight. Remember that this show is not live, but recorded. So, go to my website, find my email address, and write to me. Let me know what you think about it, whether you like it or not, and ask me any questions you like. I will answer them within 48 hours. Should I refer to your question on any of my shows, I will not mention your name unless I have your permission. So go to http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. Let us now talk about persistence. What is persistence? Persistence is the ability to maintain action regardless of your feelings. You press on even when you feel like quitting. When you work on a big goal, on any big goal, your motivation will wax and wane. Sometimes you will feel motivated, sometimes you won't. But this is not your motivation that will produce results. It is your action. Persistence allows you to keep taking action even when you don't feel motivated to do so. And therefore, you keep accumulating results. Persistence will ultimately provide its own motivation. If you simply keep taking action, you will eventually get results, and results can be very motivating. Should you always persist and never give up? Most certainly not. Sometimes giving up is clearly the best option. So, when do you know when to press on versus when to give up? Ask yourself, is your plan still correct? If not, update the plan. Is your goal still correct? If not, update or abandon your goal. There is no honor in hanging on to a goal that no longer inspires you. Persistence is not stubbornness. If you are growing at all as a human being, then you are going to be a different person each year than you were the previous year. And if you consciously pursue personal development, then the changes will be often dramatic and rapid. You cannot guarantee that the goals you set today will still be the ones you will want to achieve a year from now. In order to make room for new goals, we have to delete or complete old ones. And sometimes new goals are so compelling and so inspiring that there's no time to complete old ones. They have to be abandoned even if they are half finished. I have always found it uncomfortable to do this, but I know it is necessary. The hard part is consciously deciding to delete an old project knowing it will never be finished. This can quite often happen when new circumstances arise in your life that make the old goal obsolete. So there would not be any point to still pursue it. In this case, life had outlived your goal. Typically, this happens more often with long-term goals, but also mid-term or even short-term goals could become obsolete when circumstances change. This can happen if your lifestyle, which of course also includes your business, is fast-moving, dynamic, and changes very often very quickly. It might be that this was not a problem for your short-term goals, but it would be a big problem for your mid-term and most certainly for your long-term goals. However, I have outlined the importance of goal setting, and I have pointed out that you need to have goals in order to progress. So what do you do? Obviously, you will have a particular big goal in mind all the time. If you want to establish a particular business within, say, 2 years that provides you with a decent income, then this is your end goal. If you have in mind to find the ideal partner in life by the end of this year, then this is it. And then you also set your interim goals, the small goals that lead you step by step towards the big one, the end goal. In all probability, your end goal will stay the same. Not necessarily so, but it is probable. But things can happen that the business that you had in mind to establish appears to be not so fabulous anymore because trends may have changed and now you have to think and to strategize again, which makes your previously set goals obsolete. What a waste of time, isn't it? It would not be if you had set goals that are as dynamic as your lifestyle or the nature of your business is. Let us assume that you are in the music industry and your original big goal was to have your own successful recording label in 12 months from now. Your interim goals would have been to find a number of artists or groups to work with, set up or find a studio, establish contacts with radio stations, create other marketing and advertising avenues, find the right distribution deal. Let us also assume that you had some artists in mind that fit the current trend, which you dearly wanted to get on one or two particular radio stations. And you also had one particular distributor in mind. You had written down all these interim goals, put in your timeline, and established your strategy. All of a sudden, everything changes. It could be that the musical trend changed, and you most certainly do not want to be behind the trend. It could be something else that forces you to reconsider. Some of the goals, perhaps the studio and the distribution deal, could be still valid, others not. Now you have to set a few different goals, but you still have your end goal in mind. In other words, you need to be flexible and to adapt. You need to be dynamic, just as dynamic as a business is in which you are. It could also happen that your strategy to achieve one of your interim goals doesn't quite work as well as you thought it would. Should this be the case, I have a great formula for you which goes like that. Perform, get feedback, adjust, perform. With perform, I mean to do what you meant to do. Your business will give you the feedback and tell you whether you have achieved your goal or not. If not, you adjust and then you perform again. It is, therefore, perform, get feedback, adjust, perform. Your persistence is not in hanging on your original goals and do your level best to make them work. It is not from clinging stubbornly to the past. It comes from a vision of your future that is so compelling you would do almost anything to make it real. Persistence of action comes from persistence of vision. When you are absolutely clear about what you want in such a way that your vision doesn't change much, you will be more consistent and persistent in your action. And that consistency of action will produce consistency of results. Can you identify a part of your life where you have demonstrated a pattern of long-term persistence? I think if you can identify such an area, it may assist you, something you can take as a model for passion and self-discipline functioning in synergy. Achieving your goal can be the same like climbing a mountain peak. On your climb, you can come to a crevice that you cannot cross. On your route to achieving your goal, you can arrive at an obstacle that you cannot cross. So what do you do? The answer is quite simple, really. The climber would follow that crevice until he reaches a point where he can cross it, and then he carries on in the direction towards the mountain peak. You do the same when you reach your obstacle. You go around it, and then you carry on in the same right direction. Sometimes this might not be the most optimal solution to your problem, and later in hindsight, you may say that you could have done better. But you did what you had to do to break a deadlock of indecision, and you jumped into action. And as you took action, you began to explore the solution to the problem that you had, and your understanding of the problem deepened. As you gained knowledge of the problem, you could make course corrections along the way, gradually improving your chances of finding a solution. If you try to solve a problem you do not initially know how to solve, it is often better to figure out a solution as you go, one you never could have imagined until you started moving. This is especially true with creative work such as the music industry I mentioned. I have some favorite behavioral rules that help you to increase your personal productivity. And one of the very important ones is that the most efficient way to get through a task is to delete it. If it doesn't need to be done, get it off your to-do list. Dump it. Set daily goals. Without a clear focus, it is too easy to succumb to distractions. Set targets for each day in advance. Decide what you will do, and then you do it. Worst first. To defeat procrastination, learn to tackle your most unpleasant task first thing in the morning, instead of delaying it until later in the day. This small victory will set the tone for a very productive day. Identify your peak cycles of productivity and schedule your most important task for those times. Work on minor tasks during your non-peak times. If you are most productive in the morning, this is the time when you need to do most of your creative work. Set time blocks. Allocate uninterruptible blocks of time for work where you must concentrate. With uninterruptible, I mean uninterruptible. Don't even take telephone calls in this block. Set mini targets. When you begin a task, identify the target you must reach before you can stop working. For example, when I work on my writing, I often decide not to get up until I have written at least 800 words, and I always hit my target no matter what. A good idea is also to speed up your tempo. Whatever you do, do it faster. Move faster, speak faster, think faster. Agendas. Write clear agendas before you go into meetings or before telephone calls. It avoids mindless chit-chat. Train yourself to quick decision-making. Once you have all the information you need to make a decision, give yourself 1 minute to think it through to arrive at two choices. Choose one of them and then act on it. Set yourself deadlines to complete tasks and stay on course. A very important part for me is also punctuality. Be always on time and insist on punctuality of people working with you. Very important is also continuity. At the end of your working day, determine the first task you will be working on the following day. Prepare whatever you have to prepare for it so that you can start working on it immediately. Don't go for multitasking because it doesn't exist. Focus on single tasking. When you begin a task, finish it. Do not start anything new before you have finished the old one. Avoid stress. Do not let work overwhelm you. Delegate if you can. Take breaks. Relax. Have fun. Reward yourself whenever you have arrived at a target. Enjoy. Make your work enjoyable. Have fun doing what you are doing. And then strategize. Identify strategies that have worked for you in the past and use them as models for your future planning. On the other hand, stop using those that haven't worked for you. It is amazing that most people just don't do it. And they keep on using the same old strategies that never worked, and then they wonder why they fail again. Let me give you my web address once more for those who still don't know, and also to remind you that this is a recorded show and not a live show. On my website you will find my email address, and I would like you to write to me. Give me feedback on this show, give me your opinions, and ask any question you like. I will answer them within 48 hours. You can also go to page 4 of my website and listen again to all my recordings. I upload them the day after each show was aired. And my web address is http://www.mindmattersonline.info. Mind Matters Online is one word. Let us move on to something quite different, goal setting. I spoke about goal setting before, but now let us have a look into it at some depth. A useful way of making goals more powerful is to use the SMART mnemonic. While there are plenty of variants, SMART usually stands for S stands for specific or significant. M stands for measurable or meaningful, A for attainable, R for relevant or rewarding, T for time-bound or trackable. For example, instead of having to sail around the world as a goal, it is much more powerful to say to have completed my trip around the world by December 31st, 2015. Obviously, this will only be attainable if a lot of preparation has been completed beforehand. What makes goal setting so important? Goal setting is used by top-level athletes, successful business people, and other high achievers in all fields. Setting goals gives you long-term vision and short-term motivation. Goal setting focuses on your acquisition of knowledge and helps you to organize your time and your resources so that you can make the very most of your life. By setting sharp, clearly defined goals, you can measure and take pride in the achievements of those goals, and you will see forward progress in what might previously have seemed a long, pointless grind. You will also raise your self-confidence because you recognize your own ability and competence in achieving the goals that you have set out to achieve. If you don't set goals, you're only drifting along. You may work hard, but you're not getting anywhere. It is like going on a journey without knowing where to go and without planning how to get there. Now, how do you start to set goals? You set your goals on a number of levels. First, you set yourself the goal that I mentioned a few times before, the big one, the final goal. You very clearly and distinctly have it in your mind with all the details that are involved to achieving it. And also when you want to achieve it. It is very important to not just have this goal in your mind, but to write it down. You write down your goal together with a timeline on which you establish when exactly you are going to work towards it and when you want to have achieved it. This can be a long-term plan. For example, if you want to establish a successful and highly profitable business, it will probably take some time, perhaps a year or two or even longer, to make it successful and highly profitable. Secondly, before your end goal is achieved, you will have to achieve a number of minor goals, steps on the way to get to your big one. Assuming that you already know what kind of business you are about to start, your first goal could be to find the right business premises in the right location. Then, of course, you need to find the right suppliers, get the right banking facilities, get your marketing and advertising right, and many other things, many other small goals that are essential to, in the end, arrive at the final goal, your successful and highly profitable business. The whole planning process is your strategy, and the way how to go about it, getting from step to step, is your tactic. All these minor goals are also entered on your timeline as accurately as can be, so that you can track how you progress, if you are on target or not, if you have to push harder, or if you are doing just fine. Thirdly, as I said before, goal setting alone does not do anything. It doesn't achieve anything. But once you have set your goals, you now have to take action. When planning your goal, have a look at our acronym SMART. S-M-A-R-T. Is your goal specific or significant? Well, if you're planning your business, I would say yes, it is. If you have clearly defined it, it is specific. And in my mind, setting up a successful and highly profitable business is most certainly significant. Is your goal measurable or meaningful? It certainly is measurable because you have all the small goals on which you can measure your progress. And if this big goal of yours is important for you on a deeper level, and not just a means to make money, it is also meaningful. Is your goal attainable? If you have not set your goals too high, it will be attainable. It would not be attainable if you had set out to make Google obsolete within 18 months. Is your goal relevant or rewarding? Well, if it is significant and meaningful, then in all likelihood, it will be also rewarding and relevant. Is your goal trackable or time-bound? Yes, after all, you have determined your timeline, which makes it both trackable and time-bound. This is just a way to establish one particular goal. You can use the same example to establish your life goals, a combination of everything that you want to achieve in a lifetime. This, of course, requires quite some thinking time, quite some planning time, and moreover, deep knowledge of yourself. Let me give you a few examples of what I mean. Attitude. Is there something in your mind that hinders you from moving forward? For example, do you have a fear of failure? Do you worry too much? If so, you have to do something about it, which could be your very first goal. Education. Do you want to acquire particular knowledge before you set your life goals? Or is it one of your goals? Career or business? What level do you want to achieve in your professional career? What is the maximum you want to achieve in business? Finance. How much money do you want to earn in your profession or in your business? Your family. Do you want to have a family? Do you want to be a good parent? How do you want to be perceived by your extended family? Social. Do you want to have a meaningful social life? The health aspect. Do you want to be actively involved in exercises or other sporting activities? What do you want to do to stay healthy? And then comes also pleasure. What does having fun mean to you? How do you want to enjoy yourself? After you have brainstormed with yourself all the various ideas and have come to certain conclusions, you should write down these conclusions as your mission statement. Then you set out your strategy how to achieve your long-term mission statement by setting goals, writing them down, and establishing written timelines. In addition, you need also daily to-do lists that you review and update also on a daily basis. You need also some time management tools, for example, priority lists. But I will talk about time management at some later stage. Some other good ideas to help you setting goals are to express each goal as a positive statement. I gave you an example when I talked about not shying away from negative but moving toward positive outcomes. Here's another one. I'm not going to make this stupid mistake again means shying away from a negative. Whereas, I'm going to do this time exceptionally well is a positive. Be as precise as possible. I know I repeat myself here, but it is very important. The goal must be precise. The dates, time, and whatever else you can measure need to be precise too. Write them down. Write goals down. But not only goals, everything else connected to them as well. I mentioned the word brainstorming. Write down all the ideas you have. Also the bad ones. It doesn't matter. Writing crystallizes your thinking and forces you to think linearly. Do you know how often I had a wonderful idea that I thought could change the world? Something absolutely brilliant, or so I thought, until I wrote it down. Then I realized that it was not so brilliant after all, but quite rubbish, really. Set performance goals and not outcome goals. Set goals that are dependent on you. Goals over which you have control, and not goals that are outside your control. A goal to win the lottery is not within your control, and you probably would be disappointed if you made it your goal. Set realistic goals. They can be difficult to achieve, even very difficult, but they must be achievable. Be flexible. Sometimes something can happen that is outside your control that makes you deviate from your original plan to achieve this goal. That's okay. Change your path, work around this obstacle, or even adjust your goal. If you realize that you have failed to achieve a goal because you lacked certain knowledge, make sure to acquire this knowledge. As I have said before, whenever you have achieved your goal, take time out to celebrate it, even if it's one of the small ones. Celebrate it and have fun. Acknowledge yourself for having made it. Pat your shoulder. You have deserved it. With this, I come to the end of tonight's session. Here's my web address again, mindmattersonline.info. Mindmattersonline is one word. Write to me, give me feedback. Let me know what you think about my program and ask whatever kind of questions you may have. I will answer them within 48 hours. Always bear in mind, in absence of clearly defined goals, we become strangely loyal to performing daily acts of trivia. Tune in again next week, same day, same time. Good night.